Amen, indeed. To the glory of God, how blessed we are, Bob, James, Richard, Matt, by you, with you. Thank you. Pray with me. God, before any words are spoken this morning, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight in these moments that follow, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we've been reading from the Gospel of Mark most of this month, traveling with Jesus and his disciples and the crowds that gathered around him as he journeyed out of Nazareth into Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. And this morning's reading from chapter 9 in the Gospel of Mark is the last scene, according to Mark, in Galilee. Galilee is a symbol in this Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, for the place from which Jesus calls persons to follow him. When Mark writes of Jesus passing through Galilee with his disciples, he speaks of us. We are Galileans, ones whom Jesus calls to follow him. In these chapters in Mark's gospel, Jesus' care for his own flock takes precedence over his compassion for the crowd. And a bit like our Sunday morning worship hour, or the hour before this, our Sunday school classes, this morning's reading is a moment of withdrawal from the chaos of the world, designed to help Jesus' followers, you and I, understand the journey that we are on. So let us read from our scripture this morning. The 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses 42 through 50. We'll stop at verse 48 and finish the other two a bit later. Listen for the word of God. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. We'll pause there. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May wonder or understand a bit better now why Lucy was shaking her head for coming back to this scripture lesson as Mike's young disciple sermon. Still makes me curious, Mike, so we'll talk. These verses are pretty straightforward, aren't they? The section of Mark contains a series of sayings about anyone who caused others to stray from the way that Jesus has set for them, those who cause others to sin, we most commonly say, to separate themselves from God and God's way, those who are stumbling blocks to others. The little ones in this passage, who Jesus says, believe in me, points backward to verse 37, just a few from where we began, to one such child, but it designates not only the physically young, but also, and perhaps even more so, those most recent believers in Jesus, those who have just come or are coming to the faith. For you see, all are to be welcomed into the fellowship of the followers of Jesus, and not forbidden or hindered from working in his name, not being caused to stumble. All are welcome into the fellowship of the followers of Jesus. And there are consequences, Jesus tells us, for those who don't welcome, who do forbid or hinder, who do cause others to stumble. It would be better for those to have a millstone hung around their neck. Now, it occurred to me this week that that consequence may be a bit lost on us today. How much do you think a millstone weighed around the first century? Anybody? Wild guess. Toby, what's that? 50 pounds? Who else said something? Tons? Okay, well, you see where I'm going. Not quite tons. Not even quite a ton. A millstone conservatively weighed 1,600 pounds. So for causing others to stumble, right, Toby, you won't get a rock fastened to you or a stone slab or even a 1,000-pound boulder. No, you'll get over 3/4 of a ton of stone for your deception and your misleading. And then that stone will be hung around your neck. And then with that millstone hung around your neck, you will be thrown into the sea. And here again, not a well, not a watering hole, not even a lake, but the sea, the most powerful symbol of chaos and confusion there was to the herders and the farmers of Galilee. Now, I'm pretty sure that Jesus is being hyperbolic here. He's exaggerating your punishment to make a point, so we should get it. The consequences were dire for anyone who would cause someone else to stumble. But that's not the worst that can happen to you, because then Jesus warns his disciples and us about the risk that we may stumble ourselves. Others may cause us to stumble. Woe to them, or woe to us if we are the cause, millstones in the bottom of the sea. But we may stumble ourselves, cause ourselves to stumble, do things that make us stray and separate and forget God. The consequences for us if we cause ourselves to stumble are, once again, relayed in vivid and provocative detail. It would be better if we maimed, crippled, or partially blinded ourselves, and then, instead of being thrown into the symbol of chaos that is the sea, to be thrown into the actual chaos that is hell, or in Greek, Gehenna, the destination of the wicked, much more fiery than the neutral Sheol or Hades. All of these sayings, all of these consequences that speak of maiming oneself rather than being one who causes others or self to stumble seem extraordinarily harsh. They are difficult for us to hear, even though we understand the metaphoric use of them. I found myself all week struggling to figure out how we might avoid millstones and chaotic waters, amputations, and searing flames. How might we continue to live with 2 hands and 2 feet and 2 eyes? How can we avoid our failures of love, our narrow understandings of the truth, and our quickness to pronounce judgment on others, all of which cause others to stumble, even as we stumble ourselves? For everyone will be salted with fire. Listen again to the closing verses. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The images of punishment segue into, in these final verses, an emphasis on purification and living into our identity as followers of Jesus. That in these final verses. In verse 49, we hear Jesus references to the disciples, to us, as the salt of the earth, and maybe somewhere in our head, the light of the world, as we hear in Matthew. In the ancient world, we remember salt was a precious commodity used to flavor and preserve food, used for medicinal purposes, and also used to make payment, as with Roman soldiers who were paid in salt rations. But Jesus uses salt here not to reference the Roman economy or the Jewish life, but to us having this resource in ourselves. Our saltiness is our identification, we, who we are, our sanctification, what we are set aside for. Our saltiness symbolizes the qualities in us, personally and as a congregation, that preserve and enhance the flavor of our community. Our saltiness involves being humble in our relationships with each other, giving of ourselves to one another, and accepting the people around us, here and outside these walls. To have salt in ourselves means to recognize the qualities that create, sustain, and enrich ourselves and others. The last words in our reading couldn't make that more clear. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. In this complicated and troubling passage, Jesus is not describing ways to Gehenna in order to seal any of our eternal destinies. The teaching is meant to motivate us to, yes, pay attention to the little ones, children, and those new to inquiring about our way. If we don't, the consequences are great. But we are being told also to pay attention to ourselves, to not deny who we are, to be all we were created to be, utilizing both hands and both feet and both eyes to work for and walk with and envision the kingdom of God that Jesus worked, walked, envisioned, lived, loved, and died for. The consequences for not understanding who we are among all the world's other ways is dire. Now, I want to end this sermon with a cute little story, as profound and dramatic and disturbing as our reading from Scripture may be. This story is simple, and it's modest, and it's reassuring. You ready for this, Toby? Once upon a time, there was a baby eagle called Eddie. Eddie had entered this world by violently forcing his way out of an eggshell to discover himself sharing a nest with his brothers and his sisters at the very top of a very tall tree. One day a strong wind blew up and the nest rocked from side to side, at one point rocking so far that poor little Eddie was tipped out and not old enough yet to fly. Down he fell, down through the branches, and amazingly, right into a rabbit burrow at the base of the tree. When he got to his feet, Eddie found himself among a group of bunnies born around the same time as he. Now, rabbits may be good breeders, but they're not exceptionally smart. So no one noticed or realized that Eddie was, in fact, a baby eagle. They all assumed he was just a very odd-looking rabbit. So Eddie was adopted into the family, and he grew up learning to live as a rabbit. He hopped and he jumped. He lived in the family burrow and survived on a diet of grass and lettuce. Of course, all his life, Eddie struggled with a sense of terrible inferiority. He didn't look like the other rabbits. He was always the last one chosen when it came to those hopping games. And he was often sick from eating all of that grass. And then one day life changed. Eddie and his rabbit siblings were out in a field playing when a dark shadow spread across the ground. The rabbits looked up, and there hurtling towards them was a mighty eagle. With squeals of fear, the rabbits hopped as fast as they could into the undergrowth. Eddie knew he was a goner. He couldn't hop as fast as the others and saw them all reach safety while he was still hopping like crazy out in the open. The mighty eagle drew closer and closer until Eddie could feel its shadow right above him. Eddie braced himself for the inevitable when he heard this eagle cry, "What are you doing hopping around on the ground like a rabbit? You are an eagle. Spread your wings and fly." Now, startled by the shock of what happened, confused by the eagle's words, Eddie started to move those useless things at his side. He stretched them out. He began flapping until he found himself lifting from the ground and then soaring effortlessly through the heavens. That day, Eddie discovered he wasn't made to hop along the ground, but to soar through the skies. You and I were created with enormous dignity and honor to be the image of God on earth. But we've grown up and we live in societies that tell us we're something other than the magnificent creatures made to image the sacred, the holy, the divine. And the consequences for that stumbling, for not understanding who we are among all of the world's rabbits, is disastrous. We hop around through our life in fear, wall ourselves off from others, try to distinguish ourselves from others through education or privilege or race, denying the other among us. It would be better to cut off a hand or a foot or to remove an eye. This morning's reading from chapter 9 is the last scene in Galilee, according to Mark. Remember, Galilee is a symbol in Mark's gospel for the place from which Jesus calls persons to follow him. We are Galileans, ones whom Jesus calls to follow him. We're leaving Galilee this morning. So as we do, I have a better idea than cutting off a hand or a foot or tearing out an eye. Why don't we try to recognize who God in Christ is, creates us and every single human being to be, and not only allow ourselves and every single human being to be all they were created to be, but to encourage and empower them to do so. Rich and poor, privileged and disadvantaged, men and women, young and old, let's live fully with two hands and 2 feet, and 2 eyes. Don't let the world change you. Change the world. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. May it be so. Amen.